Okay, welcome to Coast AM. We've got a couple of hours now of open lines for you. Lots going on this planet. You might as well sound off for us.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Got to be one of the best clips ever, and so appropriate for what's going on today. Your sound-off calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast. Let's go right to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to Long Island, New York. Michael's with us. Hey, Michael, thanks for joining.
Oh, good morning, George. You can hear me?
I sure can, loud and clear.
Oh, okay, very good. I'm sorry I missed an opportunity to talk to Mr. Stone, the younger Stone.
Yeah.
Because, and I've said this before on your show, is there's just the simple fact is there's a Greek shipper, his name was Stavros, Nearchos. He, in the banking community in New York, he bragged that he killed Kennedy. I mean, that's just a fact. And I've yet to see...
I haven't seen that name pop up anywhere.
Stavros?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it pop up in any of the investigations.
Well,
into JFK.
Because it's true. And it's also sad because...
Now, he's got to be dead by now, right?
He is.
Yeah.
And the irony is that irony of this tonight is that you brought up Henry Ford. Now Henry Ford's granddaughter married Stavros after the assassination.
Why would the Greek shipping magnate? Why would he want Kennedy killed?
Well, he was hired by the cabal. Why? I can't answer that.
He probably was the cabal.
No, I believe the cabal. Well, this is now we're getting to theory. My theory is there was a committee of 13. There's a permanent committee of 10. They elect an adjunct operatives of 2, and I believe at the time, Ari Onassis and Stavros Nearchos were the operatives. And they were promised. There's a merit system among the cabal. The cabal's objective was to take out Kennedy because of possibly Joe Kennedy failed previously when he was a member of the cabal, and he was supposed to help the cabal promote Hitler.
Huh, interesting. I did read that somewhere a long time ago that Onassis wanted Kennedy removed so he could get Jackie, and that's exactly what he did. But I'll check into this other guy because his name doesn't come up in any of the things that I've read, and I'm reading a huge book by Lamar Waldron right now on JFK. Let's go to Woodland Hills, California. Bruce is with us. Hey, Bruce, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, George. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
Oh, wow. Where do I start? Before I begin bringing up some points, I just want to state that, you know, a lot of things have been exposed to me of what's going on in the world in the last year and a half, and I've taken the effort, rather than staying in denial, to really investigate on what's going on. And I liken it to like putting a puzzle together with many, many pieces.
Yeah.
And until you link these pieces together and connect dots, you've got no picture.
You can't see it. That's right.
No. And, I mean, what people have to realize, I know this is going to sound strange to some listeners, some will certainly agree, is we don't have a government. We have a shadow government and a power structure that controls our government.
We have we have a perceived government.
Exactly, but, right. And the people that are in politics have no business being there because they do not have the guts to stand up to the real issues that are going on in this world. And that's one of our biggest problems. And the media is doing a great job of keeping us dumb. And that's why shows like this are fantastic, because it really wakes up people to the truth. What I believe is happening is the power structure is, I call it the four Ds: division, deception, distraction, and dumbness. They're trying to divide us. This whole thing with Democratic, Republican, Independent, you know, to be honest, I don't really think it matters who's in president, because these people are really a bunch of puppets. They can't stand up to the power structure. And when I say power structure, if for listeners who don't understand, this is probably linked all the way up to the Federal Reserve, the people who print.
And beyond.
And beyond. And it's not just us. It's the whole world. And this is really, really happening, people. I mean, if you really start connecting the dots and look at some of the things that are going on with the pharmaceuticals, with what they're doing with the geoengineering programs, and these wars. I mean, this country is always involved in a war.
I know. It's unbelievable.
They're not meant to win. They're meant to maintain.
And prolong.
And prolong. And the reason why is a lot of people don't realize that is probably the most profitable business in the world. And we are living in a true corporatocracy, and it's becoming a true oligarchy.
I mean, if you ran a company that made missiles, wouldn't you want to use them all the time?
And absolutely. I mean,
so you could take new orders for more missiles.
They're supplying weapons. They're making money on both ends.
Yes.
So it's just, and it's terrible. And the people, we're all paying the price. And, you know, I hear people complain. I kind of like to suggest some solutions of what people need to do, because our government is not going to help us. We need to basically, the people really hold the power only when they unite together, because we've got 7 billion people on this earth that are victims.
But you're going to get people, Bruce, like Peter Finch was spouting off in my little clip there from the movie Network, who simply want you to be left alone, right? I want to be left alone in my house. I want my car, I want my television, my radio, and leave me alone.
Well, I agree with you, George, but here's the problem. It's kind of like a big fire burning in your direction. You can't see the smoke, you don't see the flames, you think everything is fine. And until you smell the smoke and see the flames.
And then it's too late
at that point. And if everyone takes that stand, I mean, we've got some big problems on the horizon here. People don't realize that. They have to get out of denial, and it empowers you. Once you understand what's going on, you feel good. Even though you may not be able to do anything, you feel that, hey, you didn't fool me. I know, and I'm going to help the cause. If people unite and start waking up to what's going on, then we have some strength, and we can take back our government and really do what we need to do to save this world. Because, you know, it's interesting. I've been watching all these debates, but it puzzles me why no one has mentioned some of the things that are happening to the environment and the ecosystem, and that's more important than anything I've heard talked in these debates. And that's, you know, and in the mainstream media, they don't talk about this.
Of course not.
You know, and it goes beyond that. I don't want to take up all the time. I know there's other people waiting to call in, but you start looking at what's happening with our children. We have right now, half of all U.S. children are chronically sick with either asthma, allergies, learning disabilities, and other illnesses such as autism and epilepsy. That's half the children in the U.S.
It's like an epidemic.
It's unbelievable. And you think, well, we've got a medical professional, we've got doctors, and we should have all this technology. It's getting worse and worse. And, you know, again, I hate to say this, but there's big money in sick people.
Well, of course. of course.
Person, they'd be out of business, these pharmaceuticals.
You know, that's why we do a couple times a month special health programs to keep people tuned up, to keep you healthy. You don't want to bring your car in after it's broken down. It's way too costly to fix. What you want to do is maintain it so it never breaks down. That's the secret of your body. Michael in Virginia Beach, Virginia, east of the Rockies. Hi, Michael.
Well, thank you so much, George, and thank you for hanging in for almost, 14 years.
It'll be 14 in January, right around the corner.
Absolutely. You're teaching us what discipline and perseverance is all about just by the way you do this program. George, I've been wrestling with some things regarding this election, and I think I have a solution.
What do we do?
I'm an evangelical Christian, and you've got a lot of people like me listening to this show every night.
Yes, we do.
And we have a mandate in the Bible as evangelicals. We believe we have a responsibility to follow a command in...
I'm losing you on the phone. So.
Oh, wait. Can you hear me all right now?
There you are. Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. We believe we have a command in the book of Revelation, in the words that say, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. We have to do something as evangelical voters in America, which says we want Jesus Christ to come back and rule the world. And the way we do that is by voting for two men, I think, as a write-in candidate, as write-in candidates in all 50 states. This will send a message to God and Christ in heaven and a message to the Electoral College that we don't like their two puppet candidates for the globalist banking elite. So what we do is we take the most sincere, muckraking, evangelical governor in the last 50 years, that's Scott Walker of Wisconsin, and we write him in, and then right behind him, a good, loyal, sturdy evangelical governor by the name of Mike Huckabee as vice president, and we say to Jesus Christ, since you're going to use men like that to rule the world, we're going to show we want you to come on down and do it.
Well, you know, Huckabee had his chance. Nobody wanted him.
No. It's not a question of the public wanting him. It's listen, in 2012, 25 million evangelicals were registered to vote but didn't vote.
Oh, that's huge.
And Romney lost by 5 million. So they had five times as many evangelicals not voting as was needed to give it to Romney.
Why didn't they vote? They would have given it to Romney. He would have won.
Well, here's the thing. They haven't been given what they can get only on coast to coast, and that is direction on how to strategically restore this great republic out of the hands of these monopoly bankers. And the way you do that is alerting the Electoral College through a write-in campaign vote, centering on these two men, Scott Walker. It's symbolic. They're not going to win the popular election, but they're going to win the electoral statement. They're going to be told, they're going to be making a message that says, hey, look, electors, we don't like this monopoly banking system, and you better wake up this year.
Good point, Michael. We shall see what happens. Let's take one or two more calls before the break, and then we'll come back with more open lines. We've got Mike in Milwaukee, Wisconsin now. Michael, go ahead. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, George? Can you hear me okay?
I sure can, Mike. Thank you.
Well, that was interesting what that guy was saying. That was kind of along the lines, but I was going to go
Now I can't hear you, so I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get Donna to check you out again and see if we can get a better line. Let's go to our first-time caller, Shane, in Houston, Texas. Shane, let's try you.
How are you doing, Mr. Norrie?
Okay.
This is a big honor to be able to speak with you. My question was kind of a paranormal thing.
All right.
Do you think that both candidates have some type of demon that needs to be exercised?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. You know what? There is so much, if we really got into the political end of this, that I would be talking about with both candidates, that it would curl your hair. And I just always felt that this program shouldn't dive into politics that deeply. We're more results-oriented and, looking at the outside conspiracy. But, man, there's just so much weird stuff going on. I'm telling you, just the tip of the iceberg. It's just really weird. Jeff in Culver City, California. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey, how you doing again, George, and the Coast to Coast family?
All is well.
George, I find it so coincidental that you started out with your news snippet or your segment about Iran sending agents or spies to the United States for whatever their reasons or purposes. But, George, our country is inundated and crawling with spies from all over the world.
Of course.
Double and triple agents, even quadruple agents, all mixed in with the American populace. China, Iran, North Korea, South Korea, Russia, Israel, and other, Islamic countries, not to mention so-called friendly countries or allies like in Europe or even some South American countries. But just in Los Angeles alone, there's so many people who have poured into the city over the last 16 years. It's unbelievable. You know, many have formed their own little mini communities, and even have formed cities of their own here, and taken over basically what used to be white communities or cities or whatever. But my question is this, George. Do you believe that this is just a sign of the times, a geographical shift in coastal populations, or do you believe that this is a massive influx of people legally admitted, illegal, or refugees desperately and deliberately orchestrated for America's destruction? And if Trump is elected, what will he do about it since the horse is already out the barn? I'll take your answer up there.
I think this illegal immigration and the allowing of the floodgates to open has been a long plan of globalism. It is exactly that, globalism. Because it doesn't make sense not to protect your borders. I don't mean build a wall. I'm not into that at all. You build a wall, they're going to climb over a wall. I think we need more troops along the border, spaced out. Horrible assignment. Boring as all get up for the troops. But that would help all across the border, every 100 yards, a couple, with the, weapons and everything else to protect the border. We're going to come back in a moment and take more of your calls on Open Lines. Okay, welcome back to Coast. And by the way, election night, next Tuesday, we will be live for 5 hours. Five straight hours with a just army of guests and your open line calls, and we'll try to watch what's going on election night. I think it'll be close, and I think it's going to last for a long time that night. But we'll be on for 5 hours live. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Dana in Grand Rapids, Michigan on the wild card line. Hi, Dana.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
You are very welcome.
I called in. Oh, thank you. I called in. I know Sean's no longer on the line. I wish I could have caught him. I did try, but the lines were busy. I take issue with something he said towards the end of his hour.
Sure, go ahead.
That we can, two things. One, there's nothing that irritates me more is when people misquote someone. If you don't like a candidate and you're pushing for the other candidate, then just come right out and say that. I can respect that. Not everybody's going to like all the same people or agree with all the same people. But he made a lot of comments about Trump that weren't true. And it's not that I'm so crazy about him, but I could never vote for her just because of who she is, and not just now, but for 30 years, because I've done the research. Unlike a lot of people, I don't get my news from the news. I've actually done the research, but he said that Trump wants to, you know, get rid of all the illegal aliens. He wants to get rid of the ones that are causing the problems. And I don't know, I can't speak for Sean, and since he's not on, I can't ask him. I've been to 3 of the 4 states that border Mexico,
mm-hmm.
on the Mexican side, and on the U.S. side, obviously, because they had to cross over. I'm telling you, until you see it firsthand and know what's going on down there, it is, the news won't report it. The alphabet networks will not report it because it goes against what this administration wants the American public to know. And same with Bush, too. You didn't hear anything about it. It is much worse than what you're hearing and what you can imagine. So I wanted to correct him on that. Until you've been there, you cannot speak from a point of authority. But so often celebrities come on, not just your show, but, you know, on news shows and things like that, and they talk like they have such authority and credibility. And there are people out there, you know, like your listeners, who know better than that. The other thing I wanted to take an issue with is that we can absorb all these people. First of all, the number isn't 9, 10, or 11 million. It's closer to 20 and maybe a little bit over 20 million. They're coming from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. These are third world countries. They're not even literate in their own languages, meaning they can speak it, but they can't read and write it.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing no skills here, and because we have a welfare state, even without a Social Security number, and even though they're illegal, they're obtaining food stamps and welfare. We cannot support that. So you made a comment before the break about it's crazy not to protect our borders. It isn't just about terrorists getting in. It's about these people. Yes, we can absorb people to replace the baby boomer generation that's dying off, but the way of our country, the way of all countries, are going towards expanding in medical and IT. And so we need highly skilled workers. The workers that came here from Eastern and Western Europe in the 1800s, as well as the early 1900s, were more laborers. Our manufacturing is gone. So these are people coming from countries who aren't even skilled laborers, much less IT people or medically trained. We've got a real serious issue, and I was really irritated that he's so flippant and says, and stated that we can absorb these people. What I would ask him is, because he comes from someone who, you know, I'm not saying that they inherited their wealth. You know, Oliver Stone is a director, and he's a self-made man. But I would like to know, how many of these people have they taken in? You know, it's so easy for Hollywood or people on the left to say, and some on the right, too, we can take these, you know, we can absorb this, but none of them are housing any of these people or feeding any of these people.
So here's the question. With all the illegals that have come in, and you said close to 20 million, what do we do now? What do we do with them?
Well, I think what we need to do is, you know, people really railed on Romney, and I wasn't a big Romney fan either. He irritated me on certain subject matter. But he said that word self-deport, and Obama tore him up one side and down the other, and so did the people on the left. The first thing we need to do is go after the businesses that are employing illegals. End of story. That's number one. The second thing is, I agree with you, we need more border patrol. But I don't see a problem with building a wall. They did it in Germany, and, you know, much to the detriment of the people, you know, it kept them from being free. But in this case, it would I believe in two walls. The first wall, and then there's that space in between, that dead space, and then another one. And then
it'll take, Dana, it would take 8 years to build one of those things.
I think that if they put to work, you know, Sean was talking about infrastructure. If they gave jobs to those people that wanted them, American citizens, to build that wall, it wouldn't take 8 years. There are certain.
We should let the illegals make it because they're hard workers. Let them do it.
Well, some of them are, but a lot of these are not. Until we get rid of, that's another thing I wanted to mention, until we get rid of the welfare state, and I don't mean for American citizens who need it. I'm talking about for illegals. I don't understand why they can collect welfare. That's coming out of your check and my check, and then they're sending the money back home.
I know that. We should not be giving illegal people money and licenses and things like that. We shouldn't be doing that.
Exactly. No, I disagree. Yes, I agree with you on that point. No, we shouldn't. This is crazy. And some of them are, they're even voting in this election.
So here's my question, though. But you didn't answer the question. What do we do with the 20 million that are already here?
Well, if you go after the businesses, a lot of those people are going to self-deport.
They're not going to go after, but they're not going to do that to those businesses. Businesses.
They may not, but I'm saying that you asked me a question. Unless they go after the businesses, then we're going to still have this issue. If they don't have any work, they're going to go somewhere, but they're not going to stay here.
Well, but they probably would have a better life here even than what they'd have there.
Here, George, they're coming here money. For money, whether it's through the welfare system or it's through day laborers. So if you cut off the economic source, then they have to go someplace else.
Now, these companies would tell you, Dana, they would tell you that we can't find enough American workers who want to do these jobs. That's what they'll tell you.
No, not. I don't believe that if they're employed by businesses, companies. What I do believe, that there are Americans who aren't going to, work out in the field and pick fruit
right.
and vegetables.
Or landscapers and stuff like
that. Right.
They don't like
that. So then this is what I would do. I would let them do what they used to do. You come up because I live in Michigan, George, and we have award-winning vineyards in a city called Traverse City.
I've been there.
From Detroit.
Yeah.
So the Leelanau Peninsula, they rival some of the French wines and champagnes as well as California in the Napa Valley. And so, obviously, we have a lot of fruit farms here, tons. I'm from Grand Rapids, tons of fruit, not in the city, obviously.
You're from the home of Jerry Ford.
Right, exactly. But then what you do, George, is you let them, when I was little, they came here seasonally, and then they went home.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going home. They're staying, and that's the problem, because then they're collecting food stamps and welfare. And there are pamphlets at DHS explaining how to do this without a valid Social Security number. So I have a problem with that. We need to take, there's an old saying, George, charity starts in the home. We need to take care of our own first. We cannot absorb. And how is that fair that because they can run across the highway or go on their stomach under a fence, that they are more deserving than people like in Darfur, where, those gorillas are cutting off little children's arms at 2 years old so they can never pick up guns when they grow up and come of age and fight against the gorillas. Who's to say who's more deserving to come here?
Let me ask you one more question, Dana. One more. If you had, it sounds like you support Trump, and that's your prerogative, and that's good for you. But would you have preferred a different Republican candidate?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who support Trump would have preferred a different Republican.
Right, but here's the thing. She's been dirty her whole life. People are just focusing on the most recent thing.
Well, see, if I think if Trump wins, it's not going to be just a pro-Trump victory. It's going to be, I don't want a Hillary victory. That's why if Trump wins, he's going to win because of that.
But I want to make a remark about Trump. You know, one thing Trump doesn't like to do, and I don't think it's arrogance, maybe a little bit, but I think it's more the business side of him. You remember the skating rink over there in New York? They goofed off with union workers and this and that, and they couldn't get that thing built, and they were over budget, and it never got done after they stuck all this money into it. He took it over, he came in under budget, and it was knocked out in no time flat. This is a guy who doesn't like to lose. He wants to win. So I said this since I was a kid. Now, if a kid could have that, you know, that kind of foresight, why don't adults get this? That we need this country is nothing more than a gigantic business. Give it to a businessman. Look what he said, George. In the first 100 days, he's not going to let one new regulation pass through. He will not sign one new regulation until they get rid of two old ones. And he's going to get rid of overlapping agencies. He's going to do a lot of stuff.
Well, we're going to see what he does because he might get that chance. Indeed. Dana, thank you. Let's go to John in Traverse City, Michigan. He was just talking about that, east of the Rockies. Hey, John, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hey, George. I just heard your previous caller mention my hometown.
Yep. Great town.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you. What got you to call?
Hey, I have a hypothetical election prediction for you.
Okay.
You remember Craig Hewitt being on your show, and he talked about the global elite prepping Jeb Bush.
Yes.
The next president?
Yes.
I got to thinking the other night, how could that happen? And it came to me, it still could happen.
4 years from now or now?
No, now.
How?
Well, let's say that neither Trump or Clinton get the necessary 270 electoral votes.
Which is possible.
It's possible. There's two ways that could happen. First of all, we could be told that that's happened. Or the natural way, where one of the third-party candidates actually wins as little as one state, that could screw the whole thing.
Everything could get screwed up. That's right.
So then what would happen is the House of Representatives...
They get to pick.
...immediately, and they'd vote for a president.
Yeah, they don't necessarily have to pick the candidates, do they?
Right.
They can pick anybody they want.
This has actually happened three or four times in history, mostly back in the 1800s.
Way back.
And
so you think they could just say, hey, let's settle in on Jeb Bush?
Well, when you think about it, the House is controlled mostly by Republicans. And since we've got two candidates that are the most unpopular ever, why wouldn't they get together and say, hey, let's vote for Jeb Bush?
They could.
Interestingly, he bowed out very early and very gracefully, and I haven't heard a peep from him.
No, he really has faded away, hasn't he?
He sure has.
Maybe he knows what the plan is.
That's what I'm kind of wondering.
It's possible. John, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there, Cornelius.
Hey, I see you gave our friend Tommy the night off. You got Ms. Donna working for you tonight.
Tommy is a little bit under the weather.
Uh-oh. Hey, you better make sure you take care of him. The last time, he almost left you.
I know it. He almost went to the clouds.
But I was so glad to meet y'all. I didn't want to get on with Sean. Y'all had some good callers and stuff. I look forward to meeting y'all at the next one next year, so I'm trying to get all my stuff together now.
And you need to buy a GPS device so you can find out where our dinner place was.
Yeah, I tell you, I didn't want to get lost in New Orleans, so I just came on home. But what I wanted to sound off on, George, and your callers are right on, but like I tell everybody, get your God, guns, and gold, and your Bible, bullets, and beans, because after this election, it may be on. And I tell you, like I said, you're spot on about gold and my Patriot Supply and all like
that. Oh, yeah. I mean, all that's important. So, who are you going to support for president? Let me ask you.
Oh, you would. I'll be honest with you. I started out with Ben Carson, and then once Ben was out, I went ahead with Trump. I don't know if you've heard this yet. We had a senatorial debate here, but David Duke was in it, and boy, it got rough.
Yeah, David Duke. That's a name from the past. He's still hanging in there, isn't he?
Yeah, but I don't think he'll get hardly. They said he's polling at 5%. I don't think he gets 1%.
Has he toned down his rhetoric, the supremacist rhetoric, or is he still at that?
Well, he's toned it down, but he's more or less, it's about the Jews now taking over and the media and all like that. So it's
unbelievable. Now, would you have preferred, even though you're going to support Trump, would you have preferred a different candidate instead of him?
Oh, no, I'm supporting Rob Manis if you're talking about for the Senate race.
No, for the presidency.
Oh, yeah, Trump. I'll tell you, like that lady was saying before, Trump, at least, he's a fighter. These other Republicans, Romney and all of them, and Bush, they're no fighters.
So you think he's at least the best of the choice for the Republicans?
Well, like I said, I supported Ben Carson, and once Ben Carson was out, I like Trump. And and I hope you play this. You know, I love Louis Armstrong. What a Wonderful World.
Yep. He's my Friday night bumper song.
Friday night. Okay, I got you. I'll be listening.
All right, Cornelius. Thanks. We're going to come back. Another hour to go of open lines right here on Coast to Coast. So those of you who have been on hold for a while, just don't hang up. Just stay right where you are. I will get you. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Do follow us on Twitter. We send little tidbits of information out every day. And email me whenever you want to George@coasttocoastam.com.